not. Veto.
Circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that
a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings!
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And live from the Skyline Studios, Dave Schwann joins us. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Dave, how you doing? We made it through January.
It's big Super Bowl weekend. We talk commercials already. I think we're going to be talking a little bit about the halftime shows today, because there's a history there.
Oh, there's a big history, you bet. First, not to mention the commercials, too.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let's talk about our first piece. President-elect Franklin Roosevelt survived an assassination attempt tied to Chicago, 1933.
Yep, and the reason it's tied to Chicago is because the mayor of the time, Anton Cermak, was riding in a car with him in Florida, and for want of a better way of putting it, he took the bullet. The would-be assassin missed Roosevelt, hit Mayor Cermak, who subsequently died from the wound.
Well, at that time, inaugurations took place in March, not January.
That's
so
right.
If he was killed, Vice President-elect John Nance Garner would have assumed the presidency at the bottom of the Great Depression. Boy, where would we be today?
Yeah. Right? That would be amazing. And just one pointer, the reason up until that time they had been in March was because travel was much more difficult for the presidents to get to wherever they were to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And then travel became easier, really, in modern times with Franklin Roosevelt. And they said, well, let's move it up to January.
Well, and a lot of it was done by train at the time.
Yeah.
1940, equally as important, Tom and Jerry was created by Hanna-Barbera. But MGM actually put those out there in the movie theaters. That's a classic I remember growing up with, watching on like Channel 32.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I remember watching them. And I have a vague memory, Dave, when I was a little kid, of seeing Tom and Jerry cartoons and or Looney Tunes in theaters.
In the theaters.
Yeah. I'm going back to 1964.
So, I mean, we're talking about the fact that there was always a little cartoon that would open up a show.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And at the very, very, very end of newsreels also.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those finally ended around 65.
Yeah, it was. It was the 1960s because people had access, obviously, through television at that point. Because visually, you were talking about the newsreels a little bit. Those started like in the 1910s. They were silent at the time.
They were
silent at the time. And then that's really how people got to see the news. If you weren't picking up a paper, I mean, at least seeing motion in what you were reading about or hearing about on the radio, that's where you had to get it from, was the movie theaters.
And think of how novel that was to, in that time, 100 and some years ago, when you're sitting in a room and you're watching people moving, and you know they're not in the room with
you. They're not in the room with you. Nope. 1953, The Adventures of Superman premiered on television. So that was like the first real live action that got out to the entire country.
With George Reeves.
Which George Reeves.
Yes. Yes.
Let's take a little listen to that opening.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Now, do you remember watching Superman as a kid?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And the reason I have a vivid memory of it is if the Cubs weren't playing in the afternoon, if they were idle, or if the game ended early or was rained out, WGN-TV would show a Superman rerun.
Yeah, right. No, I remember that. I totally remember that. And they would air weekdays and stuff, but they would air Sunday
morning. Sunday morning, definitely. Yeah.
I watch it with the Cisco Kid and the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1959, the Barbie doll goes on sale. Let's listen to a classic commercial.
Barbie, you're beautiful. You make me feel. My Barbie doll is really real. Barbie's small and so petite. Her clothes and figure look so neat. Her dancing outfit rings the bell. At parties she will cast a spell. Purses, hats, and gloves galore. And all the gadgets gals adore.
Barbie dressed for swim and fun is only $3. Her lovely fashions range from $1 to $5. Look for Barbie wherever dolls are sold.
Someday I'm gonna be exactly like you. Till then, I know just what I'll do. Barbie, beautiful Barbie. I'll make believe that I am you.
You can tell it's Mattel. Well,
and there you have it. All right, 2005, and I'm speeding up a little bit here because we're going to get to Super Bowl halftime shows here. It's 2005, YouTube launched.
Yeah.
At this time.
And I remember texting or calling a friend.
It's been around 15 years. Only 15 years.
Yeah.
That's like a source for everything. I mean, it blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah, and it started out, I think, with just a few guys doing it.
Yeah.
Just like Facebook and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, starting very, very small. And I remember emailing a friend, not texting, emailing a friend who's always up on this. And I said, tell me more about this YouTube thing.
Yeah.
And he wrote back and he said, dude, this is going to be big.
Yeah, it's
going
to be big. And it is. We use it for a resource for everything.
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 I am astounded.
Right.
As to what is on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, the radio station. If you're working a radio station, folks, and you're going through the old, and I remember seeing this in the Tribune Tower, we had a library for music. We had a card file that was all alphabetized. It was a wall of card file.
Record library.
And it was a massive library. And thinking what you would go pull for shows every single day and then have the needle right where it needed to be to start it. I mean, we're pulling stuff from obviously Spotify or YouTube or whatever it might be in an instant.
Instantaneous.
You know, you want a quick clip of a news piece that's out there. You don't have to go through tapes and decks and all kinds of other stuff. You can find it in an instant. It's amazing.
We do it. We do it.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Sunday is the Super Bowl. Most watch the game, but many watch the commercials and stay focused for the halftime show. I'm going to say, you know, when we've had Super Bowl parties, and we have a tiny one every single year, a few people come over, Josh's friends come over, they usually take that time, they turn up the music, and they go play basketball in the backyard or burn off some steam because they're sitting there watching the game the entire time. But I noticed my daughter is most entertained by that, almost like when the Grammys are around. They want to sit down as a free concert.
Mm-hmm.
But it moves very, very quickly. And people have to remember, like, back in the day when Super Bowl halftime shows really began, the late 60s, 70s, it was marching bands.
Yeah.
That's all we had.
Right.
Matthews and I were talking about that earlier.
The reason for that was pretty much the entertainment for college games, still is, and NFL games.
Yeah.
So they just carried over into Super Bowl.
Nobody thought about doing a concert. Really until, I mean, the 70s, there was a little trickle of that. The 80s, we were talking about.
It evolved quite a bit. Yeah.
This year, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez are the two. The selection of two Hispanic pop icons were deemed perfect for Miami, although I'm wondering if Gloria Estefan will get out there at some point. She's so associated with Miami as well. So that's, of course, the location of Super Bowl 54. Last year was Maroon 5. It was okay. Ever since that wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake and that whole performance, which was great, by the way, not the wardrobe issue, but
careful, Dave.
But we've tried to play it too safe. Like everything now is just too safe. So Maroon 5 could not be any more white bread. You know, it was just such an easy show. It was entertaining, but it wasn't something that blew your socks off. And I've got a list here of the top Super Bowl halftime shows ever. Top 12. And when I mention the names and you think about these are the bands that did perform at the show. Like, I want to go back and look at these shows, sure. Right?
And you can probably find them on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Number 12 was the Rolling Stones. That was back in 2006. And he yelled to the audience when he was ready to play Satisfaction, "This one we could have done in Super Bowl One."
Yeah.
They were asked
to
play.
Could have easily done it in Super Bowl One.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he did Start Me Up. I mean, when you think about that music, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
At the Super Bowl. How cool that is. That was 2006. Number 11, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. That was back in 2009. 12, and it's 12 minutes. I mean, that's really what the halftime show is. So you're jamming. You think about average song is 3-4 minutes. I mean, you don't get a lot. That's why there's medleys.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one right after another.
They don't finish.
No,
they don't even finish a song.
Yeah.
They keep going. But, you know, them and, you know, having the E Street Band there, that's spectacular. They did Born to Run, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, Glory Days, Born in the USA. I mean, it was, again, at one after the other in all this. Number 10, Aerosmith, Britney Spears, NSYNC, Nelly, and Mary J. Blige, all in the same show. MTV produced the halftime show at the time.
Oh, they did.
Which is smart.
Well, sure.
When there was music on MTV. By the way, but you know, Aerosmith was still making albums. The mashup of NSYNC, Nelly, and Britney doing "Walk This Way" with the Bad Boys from Boston. Yeah, when you think about those bands being together in one Super Bowl show, how spectacular!
Yeah, yeah.
And again,
exactly.
We got Maroon 5 last year.
Well, they've
year.
Had the biggest names of the given eras.
Yeah,
that you mm-hmm. are going through there. One of my favorites of recent years is Madonna and Lady Gaga.
Oh,
The recent,
spectacular.
Recent Super
Bowls. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
And people are always going to complain anyway. Oh, she looked she wasn't running fast enough, or she wasn't.
Right, right.
She's like 80. She's like, you know, she's older now.
The other thing, being kind of a geek about this kind of thing, is I'm always amazed that this is live TV, how quickly that is set up and taken down.
Transformed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not damaging the field.
No.
Because I think about that, too. There's a lot of people running out into the field, and you think, well, they're just going to rip the thing up.
And they have an audience of invited guests on the field, you know?
But I think they cover it. I think they cover a big chunk of it very quickly while they do some of the post-game stuff.
But they are in and out.
Yeah, in and out. After Nipplegate, which was in 2004.
You said it, I did.
Enter Paul McCartney. Well, that's what everybody calls it. Paul McCartney came in, so... why don't we do it in the road? Drive My Car, Live and Let Die. And Paul McCartney again at the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm saying,
J Lo's big though. I mean, J Lo's going to be a big show.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Number 7, Madonna with Nicki Minaj, CeeLo. This was 2012. Number 6 is U2 from 2002. I was kind of ticked that they didn't play Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I mean, it was Super Bowl Sunday. You'd like to hear that song when they were doing it.
Maybe they left that out. Think about it, Dave.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 2002, less than
right
6
after
months
9/11.
After 9/11.
Yeah, right after 9/11. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Where the Streets Have No Name was on there, and there was a big Stars and Stripes thing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Still thinking about that, obviously, at that time. Number 5 was Katy Perry with Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott. See, I like this mashup thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Old school, new school, some different music. That was 2015. Greatest entrance in Super Bowl history, some say. Number 4, Janet Jackson. Now, number 4, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, P. Diddy, Kid Rock, Jessica Simpson, and Nelly. That was in 2004. That's when everything blew up. Watergate, Spygate, Deflategate. And what I just said earlier, it was her right boob that got exposed to some 144 million viewers.
And the TV stations that repeated the wardrobe malfunction, I understand, were fined.
Oh, big time.
Some of them. Yeah. But for each time they showed it, not just once, but if they showed it two or three times. Mm-hmm. They were fined.
In highlights in the news or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some FCC complaints get a handful of complaints, you know, maybe a couple hundred. They got almost a quarter of a million.
Quarter of a million over that
one.
Probably
then.
The biggest
The
FCC.
And that became the word, you know, wardrobe malfunction in all of this. And people were talking about that during the game. And people were asking if it was a conspiracy. Like, did they intend to do that to draw attention to themselves and get Janet Jackson back into the news
into the
and all
spotlight.
That other stuff.
Yeah.
But there are theories still to this day about that. Months later, Letterman had Jackson on his show. And he asked her, how was Tito? Jackson. That was his first question, as she just shook her head.
Tito?
How's Tito? Number three, speaking of which, Michael Jackson, 1993. That was the whole Pepsi thing.
Yes.
That he
right.
did. And
That's
he got burnt,
right.
I think, doing in rehearsals and so forth. Number two, Beyonce. So that was 2013.
That was another good one.
It was another great show. That's how I'm kind of looking at J-Lo this year.
Yeah.
That we're
going to
kind of be in that
good,
same
good
spot.
Good analogy. Yeah.
2013. Number one, do you have a guess on number one?
Number one, boy, you hit Paul McCartney, you hit the Stones, you hit Springsteen.
Most lists have Prince at the top of the list.
Ah, Prince.
Prince, 2007, did all of his hits, of course, on stage. And Safe, again, you think Prince 25 years ago wasn't safe to put on stage, and he certainly was at this point.
So do you remember a couple of years back now they did a hologram of Prince?
Oh, that's right. When it was in Minnesota.
When it was in Minneapolis.
When it was in Minnesota.
Some people didn't like it. I thought it was pretty neat. Actually.
It was neat. It was very cool. Super Bowl Sunday coming up this weekend. And just a little reminder, don't forget to listen to the Sinatra Hours Sunday morning, 6:30 to 9, right before Uncle Dean. Always a pleasure, Dave.
You bet, Dave.
See you
sure
next week.
Okay. What a wonderful world this would be.